And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Hello and welcome to the show. This is Andy Webb with Lifestyles Unlimited. And as always, we are working on your financial freedom. And I thank you for tuning in today. I hope you're having a great day out there. If you have any questions, send those my way. I've actually got a listener question that we're going to address today. So if you have any on your mind, I'm sure others do as well, send those to me at askandy@luinc.com. And I'm going to build today's show on a listener question. And it's been a few weeks now. I mentioned an investment opportunity that came up in Kansas City, Missouri, when I was doing a show about that market, again, a few weeks ago now, but it was just $1,500 out of pocket, $1,500 out of pocket. And a listener, he caught on to that number, and his question to me was, well, what exactly did I mean? Now, I'm translating that question into, it's a broad question, into my vernacular is, how does that work? How are you doing that with just 15? How are you buying a house that needs renovations for just $1,500? Well, essentially what you're doing is you're buying and renovating the house for that number. That's it. And that $1,500, that is the total that comes out of the wash when you get through the full process of buying and renovating and then refinancing. But that's what we're going to talk about today. I'll explain what I mean. But yeah, you can do that. You can buy a house for that low amount of cash invested, that low amount of cash out of pocket. In fact, years ago, I took in cash $220.46 to the closing table to title. I took two $100 bills, a $20 bill, and whatever the coins were to get to 46 cents. That's it. Grand slam right there. But those are very uncommon. By the way, is that all the money that we had to pony up during the full course of the project? No, there's a certain level of working capital, so to speak, that you have to think about, funds on hand during the course of the work. So I want to be sure you understand that concept, because that can catch you off guard if you're not aware. But yeah, low out of pocket right there, right? Grand slams, home runs, those are great. But the real key to success in this business is understanding that those base hits, those singles will actually make you a lot of money. Listen, whether it's $1,500 out of pocket, $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, doesn't matter. The trick is to get started now. Get started now. Start to build that portfolio of residential real estate and watch your income and your wealth grow. How does that happen? How does your income and how does your wealth grow? Let's talk about that first, because this will really hopefully inspire you to getting started. Because with our houses, we're making money multiple ways, far different than what you see in the stock market, in your 401k, minerals, whatever you may have invested in the past. We make our money five ways on our houses. And I'm going to focus on single family today, but if you think about apartments, because we also, that's residential real estate as well, we also invest in apartments. We make money six ways there. Talked about that on a recent show, in fact. But cash flow. First and foremost, we want to see cash flow. And the nice thing, when I think about the listener's question, $1,500 out of pocket, wow. The nice thing about a lower out of pocket is I will collect back my funds invested pretty quickly just through the cash flow. So the lower my out of pocket, the sooner that I will recover my funds invested just by way of the cash flow. In fact, I sold a house just recently. The total out of pocket was $21,000, right? Vastly different than $220,000, period, right? So you might view that, back then I might have viewed that as a single. $21,000 out of pocket, but over the hold period, which was around 7 years, we collected about $55,000 just in cash flow. So we probably had our cash out in the first 3 years, two and a quarter, two and a half, something like that. And cash flow, by the way, that's gross rent, the rent that I'm collecting from my resident, minus the principal, interest, the taxes, and in the insurance. Those are our fixed costs, the mortgage, the taxes, the insurance. That's going to yield my net rent. That's my cash flow. That's my profit every month that I keep. Now, you might ask, what about maintenance? Well, listen, if you're following our model and our motto, best product, best price, that is nominal. Because what we do is we go in and we fix everything up front Anything that's broken now or could break in the next few years during my hold period, we fix it now, and maintenance practically goes to zero. And on this house I just sold, it was marginal. It was marginal even over that longer hold period. So yeah, cash flow is gross rent. Take away the fixed expenses of mortgage, taxes, and insurance. Yields my net. And we want to see cash flow. Absolutely need to see cash flow. Now, when I bought this house 7 years ago, my cash flow started out at about $450 per month, and it grew over time as rents went up faster than those taxes and those insurance, and my mortgage was fixed. A big item right now that you need to think about, another way that we do make money on our houses, is through equity capture. And this is because we're buying houses that need work. It's a very big ticket item. On that particular house that I just sold, just from the outset, we doubled our money, 107% return, because we went in, we had cash invested about $21,000, and we created extra equity because we added value through the renovation process to the tune of about $22,000. So we doubled our money just from the outset. And here I've got an example. This is a lead I got from a realtor that's down in Houston, one of the Lifestyles Realty team. Here, estimated out-of-pocket buying with hard money, we're going to talk about that, $16,000. Estimated equity capture, 38. So that's not even a doubling. That's a more than doubling. That's like 138% return just at the start of the project. So total equity in that project is 16 plus 38 once you're done. So equity capture, big way to make money right now. Good buffer if you're worried about what's going to happen during presidential elections or with the economy or anything else. You build that equity buffer through this part of the process. And then over time, another way we make money is through the equity buildup, because what happens? I rent the house. Somebody pays me the rent. And from that gross rent, as I mentioned already, we pay the mortgage. So they are actually paying the mortgage on my behalf. And that principal gets reduced over time again and again and again. The residents pay down the mortgage. On this example house, the one I just sold, that was about $19,000 over our 7-year hold period. That works out to be an 11% return. 11% return. Market appreciation, another way. And that was very, very big numbers in the last decade. Now that's market appreciation in general has kind of slowed in the Dallas-Fort Worth area where I normally am, across Texas. Kansas City still enjoying a pretty good pop, as we heard from the realtor up there. Other markets as well. Now, we don't buy just for the appreciation. This is not a speculative game. I want to know that I'm going to get that cash flow. I want to know that I'm going to get that market, or excuse me, that equity capture on the outset. And I know that I'm going to have my equity build up by way of the residents. And on top of that, the icing is that market appreciation. And it was really big, really big in the past decade. And the fifth way we make money just on our houses is through the tax advantages. You might say it's more how we contain or retain our money. And there are lots of tax advantages. For one thing, we depreciate the asset, which is just a paper expense. We do that every year when we file our taxes. And that depreciation covers our cash flow. If you're doing it right, you pay low to no taxes on your cash flow. Bam, great right there. Accelerated depreciation. Yeah, you can speed that up. You can do that on houses. People don't typically do that on houses, but our apartment investors, our syndicators do. And I can take those losses that are on paper from that accelerated depreciation and use those against the sale of this house, for example. Reduce my gain, right? Passive loss against passive gain. And speaking of which, we hold this as a rental property for a year and a day, and that takes us out of the earned income tax brackets, right? Which you pay as a W-2 job holder, and it pushes us into the capital gains brackets, or the capital gains taxes. Those are low. You can't get much lower. Huge advantage right there. If you choose to pay those now, you can defer those taxes by doing a 1031 exchange. I'm not going to get into that here, but that's a way to defer those, roll your gains into the investment of your next rental or investment property. So we make our money multiple ways. And one big ticket, one big key to how we make that money is we buy right. We buy correctly. What does that mean? Well, this is what drives that low out of pocket that caught the listener's ear. We buy at a discount. Well, how do you buy at a discount? Are you just a hard negotiator? What's going on there? Well, typically what happens is we're targeting properties that have some level of distress. And commonly it's physical distress. The house that I was talking about up in Kansas City, or the house that I just sold, they were physically distressed. They needed work, a lot of work. So physical distress, seller can't just sell that on the open market for top market dollar, can they? So they're going to have to discount it. Now, commonly, there's also seller distress. They need to get out of that thing, or they've inherited that property. They don't know what to do with it. It's a wreck. I'm having to pay the taxes. I got to go mow the grass every other week. I don't want it. So that seller distress comes into play as well. And when you buy at 50 cents on the dollar, and can get the renovations done for a good price as well. You drive a lower out-of-pocket. So just by way of example, that house that I mentioned that we sold, we bought it in 2017. So bear with me here. The rehab dollars back then were lower than they are now, right? Beware of that. But we spent a little over $40,000, and we did quite a lot to it. Didn't have to do foundation work. This is in North Texas. Didn't have to do anything to the roof. But we did put in new windows throughout, right? New windows, new blinds, six-panel doors, really upgraded. This was a 50s build. Gutted the kitchen. It was a weird layout, a weird configuration. So we redid that, closed off a door, opened up the floor plan right between the living and the kitchen. People like that these days. Gutted the master bath, the hall bath, all new flooring, all new tile, all new fixtures, all new everything, right? New AC, new water heater, upgraded the electrical service. So when you do all of these things, you're following that motto, best product, best price. And because we did all of this at the outset, that's why during the hold period, our maintenance was practically zero. Now that rehab budget, by the way, is probably double. To do all that today on that particular property, instead of 40, is probably $80,000 and some change. So I just have to be sure that I'm still buying at a discount. And the good news is that values are up. So if I'm getting the right spread, that is what's going to lead to that lower out-of-pocket. And what does that mean, out-of-pocket? When we say cash out-of-pocket, that's the total amount left in the property, total cash left in the property after we buy it. So we've closed. It's now ours. We've renovated it, and we've refinanced into a long-term fixed-rate loan. Throughout that whole process, I'm coming out on the backside. In this case, $21,000 in the Kansas City example, $1,500 in the other example I gave, very, very low. But it's all because of how we handle the process. And we're going to talk about that in the second part of the show. One question you might have is, well, how are you even finding these properties? Well, that particular one that we just sold, when my wife retired from corporate America by way of our real estate, she started sending out postcards. She got a little active in the business, and we got this off a postcard. There are other forms of direct marketing you can do. It takes work. It does take time. I prefer to really lean on the Lifestyles Realty team. A lot of the houses I've bought over the years, I've sourced through them. They do a lot of the lifting, a lot of the legwork up front. They've reviewed the market. They've told me what the rental comps are, what the market value should be, all that good stuff. So I just have to decide, meets my goals or not, and move on. Now, when we come back, we're going to talk about a very key part of your toolbox, so stick around.
Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show returns in a moment. Got questions? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com.
Want to retire in 5 years or less? You can do it, just like Lifestyles Unlimited member Lisa.
So we started passively. It was on vacation is when we realized we really need to take the plunge and be more active in this. Just because I'm an educator, I wanted to really know what I was doing. So it was just education on my part is really big. And I'm like, well, I could do that.
Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297, a 60% savings. Lifestyles Unlimited. Text radio to 88007.
Creating the lifestyle you've always wanted. You're hearing Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Andy Webb. If you have questions, send those my way to askandy@luinc.com. And we're talking today about how to get to a low out-of-pocket when buying a rental house. Low cash invested into that property. How does that work? Now, if you've ever bought your own house, you probably went in with 20% down, maybe did a couple of minor updates or something like that. And if it's a $200,000 house, bam, you're out $40,000 right there, plus whatever you do in work. If it's a rental house and I have to put $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 on top of 20% down, we're big dollars out of pocket. And that's not the case. That's not the case the way we do these things. And a big, big, very important tool that you need to have in your toolbox is it's a financing tool. And we've done a lot of shows on this. You can go to our website to hear some other shows, and we've interviewed some of the lenders that offer this type of financing. But what I'm talking about is hard money. And this is how you get to that lower cash invested. It's buying right, buying at a discount, being prepared to do the renovations, and having a good team around you that can help you do those at a good price. And then using a financing tool like hard money. What is hard money? If you've never heard of it, a lot of people hadn't. I've been investing for 12 years, and when I have a finance background. When I started looking at this, these opportunities and learning about the process and everything else and became a member, I had never heard of hard money. It kind of scared me a little bit. very high interest rates. What it is it's essentially a private money loan. It's a short-term loan. You might call it a bridge loan or a construction loan, because after all, we are usually doing some level of construction. And by the way, because it does involve construction, there is higher risk to the lender, so they do charge higher interest rates, usually double digits. Now, after you've done a few deals, a few investments with a particular lender, they may give you more favorable terms, but 12, 14%, not uncommon. When I started, it was 14%. It went down over time. Now, as interest rates have gone up, so have those hard money lending rates. But you're in that for such a short period of time. Don't get married to that rate. Don't even think about the rate. You should be in and out in 2, 3, 4 months. So it's a non-issue. And the cool thing about hard money is it does not care about the condition of the property. I mentioned when you bought your personal house, you probably put 20% down, maybe you did 10, something like that, and you got a conventional loan. And you were able to get a conventional loan because the property was in good shape. The stuff we're buying is not. The house that I just sold, when I went in there, boy, it was a mistreated house. It was one of those inherited homes that the inherited party let one of their relatives stay in, and there were drugs, and there were dogs, and there were animals, and it smelled, and things were broken, and no lender was going to lend on that property. Not conventional, but hard money doesn't care. They say, what are you going to do to the property to turn it around? So we give them that scope of work that I just read from. That was our scope of work. Here you go, hard money lender. Here's what we're going to do to add value, to take this thing from where it is now and make it presentable, make it marketable, make it rentable, make it livable. And based on that, they're going to send out an appraiser who's going to say, okay, well, here's what sold in the neighborhood that looks like what you're telling me you're going to do. And how do I know what I'm going to do? Well, I've looked at those sales as well. So I know this is what I need to do to achieve this market value. Appraiser runs his numbers, gives the what we call the after repair value, the value when it's fixed up to the lender, and the lender lends you typically 70 to 75% of that ARV. And that means I can fund some of the renovations or even all of the renovations by way of the loan. Just give me an example. I'm going to give you an example. Let's say you buy a house for 100K. In fact, this house I bought, I think it was 101. And let's say you put $50,000 in renovations into that property. We just heard I did, 40 and some change on this one. Right now, let's say when you're done, the market value is $200,000. That ARV, right? That's that market value after it's fixed up, 200K. If the lender's going to lend to me at 75% of that after repair value, even though I'm buying it for 100, that means he's going to lend me 150. Ooh, sounds like my purchase price is covered. Sounds like my renovations are covered. That's great. Now, is this always the case? No. It depends on the spread between purchase price plus renovation costs and the after repair value. But you can get it very, very low. So when do we use this hard money? Listen, when we have one of those properties that can't go conventional because of the level of work, or maybe because we have to close fast. I mentioned some of the places we go to source these investment opportunities. There's a Lifestyles Realty team. Sometimes you may just word of mouth may have it land in your lap, but very commonly you're probably working with wholesalers. And wholesalers want it to close yesterday. They want it to close fast, or maybe it's an investment that is headed for the foreclosure steps, the courthouse steps for foreclosure sale. Got to close fast. Hard money can do that. Three days, 5 days, 7 days. I've closed one as quickly as 3. They like to have more time, and I don't blame them, but they can do it very, very quickly. So that's another reason to use this. And because we use this powerful tool that drives that lower cash out of pocket. And I gave you an example already. Maybe it doesn't need that much work and it can go conventional. I will always run my numbers to see which works out better, because I'm often still better off using hard money, even though I'm closing twice, closing once for the purchase with hard money and then closing again when we refinance into that 30-year fixed rate debt again. Going back to that example, if I buy for 150K in renovations, value becomes 200. Let's just say that 50K is cosmetic updating. And if I'm an all-cash buyer, bam, I'm 150K out of pocket right there. That's not low. That's not low at all. If I'm a conventional buyer, I put 20% down. Well, there's my 40K plus the renovations, right? 75K or so, something like that. 20% down of 100 is about 20. About 75K all in, still very high. If I'm a hard money buyer, even with two closings, about 18 to maybe 20K out of pocket, just like the one I just sold. So to the listener question, $1,500 out of pocket, how does that work? Well, this is how it works. That's how we're getting to those numbers in that particular investment opportunity in Kansas City, right? Everyone is different. There's one in my inbox here from a realtor in Houston, 16K out of pocket, right? I've seen the spectrum, but it's because we're buying right. It's because we are doing the renovations, and we are using that particular tool called hard money. Those three things play together to get me that lower out of pocket. And the beauty of that is my money goes a lot farther. My returns are a lot higher, and I can buy more houses that are making me money five ways. That's how you get to exponential growth. Not by the slow path of cash investing because it seems safer. Not by doing the 20% down. It's by using this creative financing. Now, I talked a little bit about how the process with hard money works. I want to dive in a little bit more here because this tool is pivotal. If you want to do what we're talking about and get to that very, very low out of pocket on any of these investments, you need to be familiar with hard money, and you need to be prepared to use it. Don't be scared by the high interest rate. I was nervous about it when I first began. Again, coming from a finance background, 14%, you're crazy. You know what? Everything I've bought with hard money after that. But how do we use it? Again, we touched on this just a little bit, but I want to be sure this is clear. First, you're going to get a property under contract, okay? And you're going to figure out, like I mentioned, what is your scope of work? Are you lifting the foundation? Are you replacing the roof? What all are you doing cosmetically? And what is the dollar number behind that? You're going to give that scope of work to your hard money lender. And this is kind of cool because by way of the process, you get an extra set of eyes on the property, and you'll have a consultant in your lender, a business partner, and they're going to tell you if it's not a good investment. I've had that happen. Andy, that's not good. Walk away. I have. And not only there, but then they're going to have an appraisal done. Typically, some hard money lenders do not. I question that, but they're going to do a subject to appraisal, meaning it's what is the value subject to the proposed work. And they're going to send out an appraiser, by the way, an extra set of eyes on the property. And here, too, I've had an appraiser come back to me and say, yeah, Andy, this scope of work is good. And if you do that, you're going to get this market value. But if you do this and this, this is what I'm seeing in the sold comps, is what he said to me, then your market value comes in here. Bam, of course I'll add that. Very nominal changes. So extra set of eyes that can give you feedback as well. And based on their subject to appraisal, you're going to get that projected after repair value, upon which then the loan amount will be based. Again, most hard money lenders are either lending at 70% or possibly 75% of the ARV. Some people prefer to go in at 70%, by the way, because when you do your your rate and term refi at the end of the renovation period, you're typically doing a refinance at 75%. So that extra 5% covers the closing costs on that second closing. But you're going to close the purchase, and the lender, what they're going to do, you know, in my example earlier, buying for 100, renovations at 50, market value 200, they're lending me 150. They're not going to just give me those repair funds up front. And this is important to understand. They're going to keep those repair funds in escrow, and they're going to pay those out as you go through your project and as you request the funds. By the way, that's called a draw request. Here you get another set of eyes on the property. Especially if you're doing this remotely, if I'm doing this from Dallas and buying a house in Kansas City, I want to know that the work is being done well without having to drive up there to check it or fly. So that draw inspector will look at the work done, and before the funds are released by the hard money lender, they're going to want to see that, yes, okay, you said foundation work is supposed to be completed. It looks like it was completed and done right. And when all the work is done, all the renovations are complete, we refinance out of that hard money loan into that longer term product. It may be conventional. You may need to use what's called a DSCR, or debt service coverage ratio, or other commercial type product for your loan if you're not a W-2 employee, if you're self-employed or have other issues, let's say. DSCR is a very good way to go. But that's the end. That's the end of the road for hard money at this point. And you can do your math, do your calculations, and see that at the end of the day, I've hit that $1,500 out of pocket. Now, here's the caution. Is it just $1,500 at play during the length of the process? It is not. So you need to think about something, and I think of it in terms of working capital. Again, I come from a financing background. That's what I followed as part of my prior world, prior job. But in the Kansas City, Missouri example, do I just need $1,500 to get into that investment, to get it renovated and everything else? No. So why is that? Well, a couple reasons. And some hard money lenders, and this is where when you start to pick your business partners, who am I going to work with, who is on my team, you're going to want to ask questions about, for example, what kind of reserves, capital reserves, cash reserves in my bank do you need to see, hard money lender? Because look, they want you to have something in the tank just in case. They don't want to see you fail. But these are experienced investors as well. Commonly, they've done the very thing that we're doing, and they know that there are sometimes surprises. So if you didn't have replacing the cast iron plumbing in your scope of work, and that comes up. Do you have the capital to cover that? So there are surprises. They want to see that you're ready to handle that. One lender I know, for example, wants to see, I believe it's 6 months of principal interest. So the mortgage payment to them, well, it's interest only, so interest, taxes, and insurance in the bank. So they're going to escrow the taxes and insurance in that example. So reserves. And then moreover, it's not just the capital reserves that the lender will want to see, but your contractor is going to need payment up front. Not the full payment, not 100%. And if you ever get anyone asking for 100% up front, turn and walk the other way. I don't even like to see 50%, but they're going to need some portion to get started. Now, I've seen and I've worked with lenders that have split the rehab, the renovation budget into, let's say, 4, 5, maybe even 6 tranches. Like the example I just gave you, 42K, if that was over 6 installments, that's 7K per installment. I think that's what it was. Some may want 15% upfront. Some may want 20 or 25%. I know one contractor that wants to see 30. He does 30, 30, 30, and then 10% at the very end. So if your rehab is 50K, or let's go back to my example with the 42K. Before work started, because we did 6 installments, I had to make payment of $7,000 upfront to the contractor. If your rehab is 50K and you need 25 to start, you're going to need 12K in the bank and some change. Now, don't worry. That money is not gone. Right, as you do the renovations, as we discussed, you're going to submit those draw requests to the hard money lender, and they're going to release the repair funds. Right, they have the repair in escrow. They'll release those funds to you to cover the work that's completed. Another example, let's say I budgeted in my scope of work $10,000 to lift the foundation. That's very, very common here in Texas, North Texas in particular, with our clay soils. But let's say it's $10K to lift the foundation. Once that work is completed, then I'll request that draw inspection and I'll request those funds to be released, and they'll send out the draw inspector. Locally, by the way, my foundation companies tend to want to see 50% up front and 50% at completion. So if you're managing that foundation repair outside of the scope of work that your general contractor is handling, well, there's some more money to think about. So in this example, I need $5K, but I get that back very quickly. Foundation repair takes a couple of days in most situations. But at the end of the day, you get those funds back. So is it $1,500 throughout in that Kansas City example? No. I don't remember what the repair budget was in that particular example. It was an older house, so it's probably a big number, 70, 80K. So you're going to need to front that. But at the end of the day, and this is the beautiful thing with the process, at the end of the day, when you do all the math and figure out what your in and out was and what your total investment into the property was, in that example, $1,500. The house I sold, $21K. And the house I just got from the realty team out of Houston, $16K. Very, very low dollars. And to go back what I said, I want to see higher returns. And I get higher returns and I get my money back quicker by having that lower out-of-pocket. And it's relative. Right? Is that 30K? Is that 20K? That's up to you. That comes down to your goals. But in a nutshell, to the listener's question, what do I mean? How do you get to $1,500 out of pocket? 3 things here. Buy it right? Buy at a discount. Do the renovations, right? To add the value. That's the key here. We're adding value through the process. And use the right tools. Use that hard money loan to lower your out of pocket. And these are all things that I knew nothing about 12 years ago, but I became a member at Lifestyles Unlimited. I got the education. I began to understand and see how the numbers play well together and how this all works. And I've seen that out of pocket go down and down again and down again as I become a better investor and better digest the education and put it all together and get to those home runs. Again, you don't need a home run. Get those singles, start to pile those up, and you'll see how they turn. Go to our website, lifestylesunlimited.com. Check out some of the earlier shows where we got into the numbers around those singles become home runs, and you'll see how that all plays together. Thank you for tuning in today. Again, if you have any questions, send those my way to askandy@luinc.com. And be sure to check out the expo. Text in the keyword expo, EXPO, to 88007. I hope to see you there. You have a great day.
Thank you. you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at lifestylesunlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.